Good morning. It's brightening up. And I'm not going to put the cloud over your life today. I'm really amazed at the way that I get chosen to speak on the simple subjects. You know, the easy ones that you can categorize and put nicely into order, and they fit logically and they follow on. That's great. And this is one of those, isn't it? Don't worry. Putting this in this passage into context, of course, we really should have looked or should be reminded of the beginning of chapter 5. Because in chapter 5, we read there in verse 1, Jesus takes his disciples up into a mountain and began to teach them. And this is part of what Jesus taught, not the general public. He was speaking to his disciples. And I think that's, for me, I think that's very important. And this part, this passage, is also part of that teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples. I don't know if you wouldn't have counted, but I've counted the number of times that little word worry, or rather don't worry, comes into these 10 verses. Don't worry, don't be anxious. I'm really worried about speaking on this. It could be so easy to upset people. It could be so easy to put the flippant part onto it, make light of it, and say, don't worry. But that's not my intention. I really want to look at this passage in the light of the setting I've already given you, that Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he is saying, who am I? Do you trust me? If you do, then don't be anxious. I'm told that for the average person, 40% of the things they worry about will never happen. 35% of the things have already happened and can't be changed. 17% is from criticism by others and is usually untrue. 8% is on the real problem that we will have to face. And that's what I've got to do now. 8% of my worries start now. Being truthful, I have to say that really when we worry, we are telling God we can't trust him. Isn't that true? We're telling God we can't trust. Oh, yes, we may have our theology right. Yeah, God, I know you keep the sun in orbit. You can sustain life on earth. You can answer prayers. You're omniscient. You're omnipresent and omnipotent and so on. But I don't believe you can take care of this little problem I've got just now. See, our perspectives are very personal, aren't they? We believe he can be, as John says, somewhat distant. He can do all those marvelous things, the stories we can read of in the scriptures. But when it comes to me and my life, how much can I really trust him? There's plenty of scriptures we can quote, and they can come out so glibly. But really, I do want to remind you of a couple, and remind myself as well. Proverbs says, when I went into the RAF, my mother said, now listen, David, there are 31 Proverbs. There's one for each day of the month, and you've got to read one every day. I believe I made an honest attempt to keep that promise. And I did knew I could quote quite a lot of Proverbs as a result of, it was 2 years, so what is that, 12 times, anyway, whatever it was. And this one was very true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, And he will direct your path. That's why I changed the last hymn to fit in with that. He will direct your path. Of course, there's a flip side to this, isn't there? We can abandon all reasonable planning and forethought, throw all responsibility to the wind. I read of an example which I'm going to quote. There are one or two humorous things I have here, but they do illustrate the sort of things that I get and put things into perspective for me. I have a mountain of credit card debt, one man told another. I've lost my job, my car is being repossessed, our house is heavily mortgaged, but I'm not worried about it. Not worried, explained his friend. No. I've hired a professional worrier. He does all my worrying, and that way I don't have to think about it. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. How much does your professional worrier charge for his services? £50,000 a year. £50,000 a year. Where are you going to get that money from? I don't know. He said, that's his problem, not mine. Worry, I think, intrudes on the on God's compassionate ability to provide for us. When we allow our problems to overshadow the promises that God has given us, we unknowingly doom ourselves really to a defeat that was never part of God's eternal plan for us. If you know Jesus Christ today, you are to look and live differently from the one who doesn't know God. That's why I started by saying these words are not flippantly addressed to everybody, but to those who know God and have placed their trust in him. Christians and non-Christians get the same life challenges and trials and illnesses because I believe that God wants to show the world, and we are responsible for this, to show the world that a Christian lives and responds differently to the worries and challenges of this life. I'm sure, however deep the problems you've had occasion when you've realized that's true. My response to this difficulty is different to what it would have been if I hadn't known Jesus as my Lord and Savior. The believer should respond by resting and relying on God to provide, no matter the circumstances. Did that sound glib? It's not easy to put into practice, is it? But that's what the Lord that's what the Lord teaches us to do. We pass our troubles on to him. When we are tempted to worry about things in our life, we need also to read other scriptures like Philippians 4. Do not be anxious, do not be worried about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. That's hard. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. We need to be praying about every need, situation, and every problem in our lives. As soon as you hear the rumor about your job, John, hit your knees. As soon as you hear of news of bad health, hit your knees. When you don't know where your next meal is coming from, hit your knees. Get on your knees. Pray. God is willing and able to take care of us. I can say this from my personal experiences in my life. On many occasions, in deep need, I have turned to the Lord and sought to trust him. Still, of course it's concern to us. We wouldn't be human if we didn't realize that we're in difficulties. But we have one to whom we can turn. In fact, just only 1 week ago, our family was in a stress situation. On Tuesday, the 1st of July, this month, Lydia Grace, our first great-grandchild. I'm a great-grandparent. Can you believe that? Don't start too early, because you get so many problems. Our first great-grandchild was born midday. In the evening, her mother went in for minor surgery. After she was taken, Lydia Grace was taken into intensive care for the night. She had to have a lumbar puncture, and the fear was that she was going to develop pneumonia. So what do we do? Hit your knees. That's the thing that we did. Praying, of course, that God would heal, if it was his will. Simon was on crutches, having had a serious accident, out of work for 3 months because of the accident. So he was on crutches, his wife was in the surgery, and the little daughter was in intensive care. What do you do? Very real problems in life. We can only pray. That's all we could do. But we didn't pray and just leave it there. We trusted. Lord, if it is your will, we would like you to heal. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I can tell you it works. As a result of giving your cares to God, you can have that peace of mind. There's nothing like it. It also helps with regard to your health and your mental state, because God guards your hearts and minds. That's what his word says. You want peace and freedom from worrying, give all your cares to Jesus. In a sense, we do have a professional worrier, like the man in that story. Peter says, casting all your worries on God, because he cares for you. And I like this little statement that I found. It's not mine, it's one I found, and I think it's very, very clear. Prayer does not reveal our needs and worries to God. Prayers do not reveal our needs and worries to God. He knows all about them already, but it conditions our heart for God. God, what is your will? Can I trust you? Prayer does not reveal our needs and worries to God, but conditions our heart for God. If I went through life never having to pray, if we did that, we would be taking God for granted. He expects us to come. He expects us to state our worries and concerns that we have. A story is told about a man who came face to face with the dangers of worry. Death was walking towards the city one morning, and a man asked him, What are you going to do today? I'm going to take 100 people, Death replied. That's horrible. The man said, that's the way it is. That's what I do, said Death. The man hurried to warn everybody he could. Death's plan. As evening fell, he met Death again. You told me you were only going to take 10 people, the man said. Why? I did take 10 people. Why did 1,000 die? I kept my word, Death responded. I only took 100 people. Your warning and worry took the rest. Worry does have a cost. Don't you hate paying interest? I do. On things you buy, the house, the car, the credit cards. Well, worry is the interest that we pay when we borrow from tomorrow. And there are plenty of loan sharks about. A poet once said, "For every worry under the sun, there's either a cure or there is none. If there be a cure, seek till you find it. If there be none, then never mind it." A conscientious worker on a barge on the Mississippi was carrying a load and he fell overboard. He went under and then came back up and he cried for help and he went under again and came up. And he shouted out, "If somebody doesn't help me, I'm going to have to drop one of these cases." So much like us, though, isn't it? We hang on to it. We hang on to those cares more than God wanted us to carry. And we wonder, why are we sinking? Why are we going under? So far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been grumpy or nasty or selfish. I'm really glad of that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot of help. I'm really worried about it. In our passage, we are directed to nature. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds. Look how they are fed. Look how they are clothed and dressed. Said the robin to the sparrow, and I guess you know this one. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I would really like to know why those anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "I think that it must be they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." And that brings me to the nub of the matter. This really is the crux. Do we truthfully know God as our Father? Is that a position that you're in? I am in, I know, and I'm not boasting because I just believe what God says. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father but by me." He is the important one. He needs to be the center of our lives. And it's difficult. But when he is, what a difference that makes to each one of us. What authority does he have to say that? Originally, when mistrust of God ended in disobedience, that ugly word, sin, entered into the world, and the consequence of which was separation from God. Our first parents didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. Spiritual death they experienced. Restoration and reconciliation was necessary. Big words, aren't they? All they mean is that we need to be brought back into that position where we could enjoy the presence of God, the company of God, as our first parents did. There's only one way that could be achieved. And John said already, we couldn't do that. It was not through efforts of our own, as we were taught when we read in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, and some of you will quote it at me in a minute. I hope you will, because we should have remembered it. What was it? Sorry? That's right. "For it is by grace through faith that you receive salvation, and that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You can't work for it. It's a gift of grace from God himself. God had to provide that answer. Was that his worry? No, because he already had the solution. His one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and paid the price to buy us back, to redeem us. his sacrifice for sin when he took on himself the sins of the world, your sin and mine. He satisfied primarily, he satisfied God's requirements. That had to be met first. And as a consequence of that, he met our need as well. And so by coming to that position, as we have done, of recognizing our need of his forgiveness, of realizing what God has done, confessing our sin, realizing, as I say, the need of forgiveness, trusting him is the only way we can know God as our Father. We can become a disciple. And that's important. Those who have trusted Christ and are following him. Trusting him, we can call him Father in that intimate and relational way. Little Lydia, scripture tells us, she was formed in the womb by God, as were all of us. He is Creator God, but have we become members of his family by grace and through faith, our faith in him? Joshua many years ago set a wonderful example to the people of his day. He said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." He was going to put himself and his family into, if you like, the kingdom of God, as we would say today. He was going to trust God implicitly for his life and for his future. Maybe this morning you will make a decision that you will give over your life to the one who can save you. And then those things that have been really worrying, you can bring to him in absolute confidence. You're going to give over that, or give over to God, that worry, and you're going to place your trust in him and know that, what the scripture says, that God works all things together for those who love him. God works all things together for good for those that love him. The difficulties we go through, God has a purpose. We may not know, but we need to trust him. What does our passage say from verse 32? Your heavenly Father knows all your needs. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be worried about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its troubles. And that's what Jesus says to you and to me. Let's try and put it into practice. I'm going to try. We changed the hymn to close with, and it's 1162. All the way my Savior leads me. I know some of you will know it.